In our gospel reading today, we have the account of Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman. Through their encounter with each other, both are changed. Can we see ourselves in the struggle Jesus had? Can we see ourselves in the stand that the woman made? Normally, we think of Jesus going around and changing lives. He's the one who does that, then and now. But here in this story, we have Jesus going through a change of heart himself. Such an interpretation of the account, which is not an unusual way to see it these days, was once so out of the question that preachers and commentators would not go there, but instead maintained that Jesus was just testing the woman, knowing that he was always going to help her. But let's review what happened. A Gentile woman, not Jewish, not anyone who ought to be talking to Jesus according to the ways of the time, but her daughter is afflicted with what people were calling a demon. Perhaps the daughter was having seizures. We really don't know what was going on. But the daughter needed help healing, and her mother knew that Jesus could help. Jesus' reputation as a healer was one of the most known aspects of his life, of his identity. So the woman begs Jesus to heal her daughter, bowing down at his feet. And Jesus says to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Wow. Whoa, what did Jesus just call that woman? Did he call her a dog? Yes, he did. So the children here are the people of Israel, and the dogs are everyone else. Because the Messiah, for whom the people had waited and prayed and anticipated for so long, was supposed to be the one to come and liberate God's chosen people, the Jewish people, and everyone knew that. And so the early followers of Jesus struggled with their identity and mission, in the end, believing that Jesus came to lead and save and change the whole world, every person. For example, the debate about men needing to be circumcised before they could be Christians, that was a really big debate at one time, as it was a requirement for all Jewish males to be right with God, to be religious. But that debate ended by viewing the requirement as being a stumbling block and not necessary for being a follower of Jesus, to be a member of the new communities which would soon be called churches. So this account of Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman is a foundational text for many, for the early church, and for us at Holy Comforter, because as you heard during our announcements even, inclusion is at the core of who we are as this church. Amen. Yeah. Feel free to participate. I really actually don't mind at all. I kind of like it. So what about Jesus? What was happening with him? The Church Universal has always, from the early days, maintained, and we'll say this in our creed today, maintained that Jesus was fully human and fully divine. But the Church, in many ways, at many times, not as interested in looking at the fully human part. In the fullness of his humanity, it makes sense that Jesus grew and changed, that he grew in his understanding of himself, of others, and of his mission. And in this way, he is also our Savior, helping us to know that life, our lives, are about change and growth and sometimes struggle. You may remember last Sunday we considered what Jesus had to say about hypocrisy and the struggle we sometimes have as spiritual beings having a human experience. Loy Bradley Ashton, in his commentary on today's gospel, states, Jesus here faces his own hypocrisy and struggles to find his own center in God, moving through his own pain of self-integration. In other words, Mark is showing us that the incarnation is not a cakewalk. To be the Son of God, the Messiah must suffer not only at the hands of those who do not understand him, but also undergo, the commentator's continuing, also undergo the conditions of existence, the challenge of the human condition itself. To be otherwise would not allow Jesus to be fully human. So in his humanity, what changes him in this story? An encounter with a person different from himself. What changes us? Often it's getting to know people who are different from ourselves. And when we know the person, we realize these categories that sometimes are used, I mean, that aren't not true, but humanity is deeper than any particular thing, such as being gay, or black, or white, or Latino, or having a developmental difference, or being transgender. Once we come to really know someone, as Jesus came to know this woman, we realize that those categories often lead people in a bad way to differentiate, to focus on differences, and for the majority to often discriminate against the minority. So when we see people for who they are, who we are, when people see us, the labels can go away, and instead we form a bond with the person, a person who is just like you and me, a child of God. When we know the person, we open up, right? We feel more relaxed, right? We take down our walls, the walls in our hearts, as well as any pretend, hoped for by some walls at our borders. We take them down, we let go of what divides us, and we celebrate that all are welcomed, that all are fed, and that healing happens for everyone in those moments when the walls come down. And the Gentile woman, perhaps we have been her. Perhaps we can enter into her story and find her saving message for us. She was dismissed and denied, and perhaps we have been too, because we're somehow different. This woman is our savior too, and all women and men who take a stand. So she took a stand for herself, and she changes the mind of Jesus and helps him grow. Every time you take a stand for yourself, when we do this, we are changed. We're connecting more and more with the truth of who we are, God's beloved, and so we become more and more aware of our birthright as a child of God. So many people in the world we know are not treated as God's beloved, and perhaps at times you or I have not been treated that way. Perhaps we've been told, hey, you're not good enough for this reason or that reason. Or maybe, you know, nobody says anything, right? But you don't get the call back for the second interview. So every time we live into our identity as who we've really been created to be, we grow stronger and we claim it. We claim our place in human community. We claim our place in the public square, in the church, on the tennis court. Right? Some of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. On this Welcome Back Sunday, or I like to call it Homecoming Sunday sometimes, we've come to church to celebrate our community. Every one of you, you are special. We're here to celebrate each other. We're here to take a stand as God's beloved, to be strengthened, to be who we are so that we have joy and we help others in our world. What changes you? One thing that has changed me a lot in the last year and a half has been spin class. The title of this sermon, it's a two-part title. So the initial title, What Changes You? And then the alternative title is What If Church Were Like Spin Class? And I'm planning to write a book, or at least an extended blog post about that. What if church were like spin class? But don't worry, I'm not going to get into that whole thing right now. But as a way to conclude this sermon and to consider who we are and what we are about as this community on this Welcome Back Homecoming Sunday, I will share just a few of my thoughts to show how I think about church, how spin class has helped me at this, and how I think about church and spin class as community. So I never went to group exercise classes growing up, but always worked out on my own, and I thought that was sufficient, really better, really. But then I started walking by the spin room, the door, I would look in there, and inside are these people on these, it's indoor cycling, if you're not that familiar with it, and there's music, and it was kind of mysterious. And I thought, I don't belong in there. I'm not fit enough for that. Everyone's going to know I've never really cycled before. Get what I'm saying? Yeah. But then a friend, and this is a true, true story, then a friend who seemed a lot like me at my fitness level invited me to come to a class. It was so positive. Everyone was going at their own pace, even as the instructor encouraged us to really get into it, saying, you can do it. You are strong. And no one was looking at me, though I'd worried about that, right? I'd worried that people would judge me. But it wasn't like that. We were all in it together in a good way. And as I've kept going, I have gotten stronger. I've started to believe in myself. I have changed. And now, and this is really surprising, I'm even willing to get up at 5 a.m. to go to a 6 a.m. spin class. I never thought that would be me. Never. So what if church were like that? Or maybe it is a little bit like that. Because this is the place where we gather together to get stronger and to change and to follow the example of our instructor, Jesus, to follow the example of the Gentile woman. We are here to encourage each other, never to judge. And we've come here today, come home today. Each Sunday, every Sunday is really a welcome back Sunday, welcoming us back to our true home in community, our true home with others, and standing in God's light, embraced and loved by God here and now. Amen.